Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans.
Welcome to Extra Beans.
Hello. Welcome.
And thank you for your ongoing support.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Lovely stuff.
Now, Extra Beans, of course, is the place where we furnish you with extra bits, extra chat about the things that we talked about this month.
That's right.
And what a month it was.
It was a heck of a month, wasn't it? We really broke the mold, didn't we?
Well, we started international, didn't we?
We did.
We went straight to the Netherlands. Not many podcasts would do that on episode one of a season.
It's true.
You know, that's normally your Christmas special, isn't it?
It would be. You'd think, wouldn't it?
Rodney and Del Boy go to Miami. You know, that's not episode one of a season.
No. They do actually go to Holland in one of the Christmas specials.
Do they?
There we go.
Yeah.
Really? I've not seen that one.
They go to Amsterdam. It's something to do with diamonds. And they end up on a canal on a... Yeah.
Do they? I don't think I've seen that either.
For those who don't know, we're talking about Only Fools and Horses Christmas specials.
Which is endorsed by Three Bean Salad.
I love Only Fools and Horses, but I think our listeners outside of the UK won't have any idea about Only Fools. I can't imagine it played well in America.
I don't know if it's punched through in the same way that Python has, for example.
I would love to get some Generation Z Americans and make them watch an episode of Only Fools and Horses and just see
what
happens.
Make of it, yeah.
Maybe get Zendaya and Billie Eilish to watch it.
So or remake it.
That's an official invitation for it, yeah. Or Patreon
it,
extra.
Remake it with Chalamet as Rodney.
And Plemons as Del Boy.
I think Plemons is granddad.
Plemons is
right,
granddad.
Yes, good shout.
Mescal is Del Boy.
Oh, I saw a Mescal film. So after we slightly slagged off Gladiator 2, and I think I said in it, I don't think I slagged off Mescal, I think we said that he was poorly served by the film. He didn't have very much to do.
Yeah.
I think I've settled on it's like having hot rat shit punched into your head.
Oh, yeah? The film as an experience generally.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's harsh. It's good fun, but a bit silly.
I think the thing I said was that I didn't think he was very sexy in Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
And we had some sort of angry emails from women about that.
Fair enough.
So really? Paul Mescal is very sexy, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I could read out an email. I've got an email from Zoe in Bristol.
Yeah, okay.
So Zoe writes, having just listened to the Gladiator 2 film corner, I have a bone to pick with you. If you haven't watched Normal People, you are in absolutely no position to question the validity of Paul Mescal's status as a sex symbol. He has a quiet sensuality that exudes from every fibre of his being, his kind eyes, and strong but crucially not overly muscular frame. And don't even get me started on the Irish accent. There's a reason he had half the population swooning and sweating during lockdown.
But look, you can say all of those things about a rat apart from the Irish accent. Soft eyes and, what was it, a medium-build body.
And then regarding Gladiator 2, she writes, I completely agree with your assessment that it's a bad film, poor script, and he was cast wrongly in it. But don't you dare for a moment think that undermines his sex appeal.
Can I say, the trouble with his sex appeal in that film is he doesn't have the scaffolding to put that much meat on. He has the build of a quiet lad that you meet in the back of a secondhand bookshop.
Yeah.
And they've tried to beef him up. And it was like, in the same way that you can't just get loads of sausage meat and stick it onto a biro. Do you know what I mean? It was like trying to stick sausage meat on a biro. He doesn't have the frame for it, so the muscles didn't sit well on him. Like, his neck didn't have enough room to move around because his frame wasn't ever built. You know, the heaviest thing he should be picking up is a book of Yeats. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Zoe agrees. She writes, if anything, it makes him more attractive that he's too sensitive to play the role of a rage-filled boomer brute. Henry's right, too, that he was over-beefed for the role.
Yeah.
She says, I'd recommend a film that he did with Andrew Scott earlier this year, All of Us Strangers. Much more of his comfort zone of emotionality... of emotionally vulnerable and understated sexy.
Okay.
He's doing a Lancashire accent, which docks a sexy point or two.
Okay.
I think that's contentious.
Yeah.
But what Paul lacks, Andrew Scott makes up for in spades. This is the horniest email we've ever received.
Good God, Zoe.
Andrew Scott is super hot, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
But other people said, oh, you need to watch another Mescal film. He's really good. And I was like, yeah, I'm willing to believe that he's brilliant. Right. So I'm going to watch something. So I watched After Sun because somebody on the Patreon.
That's good. I've seen that. It's brilliant.
Put it on the comments and said, you need to watch After Sun. And it is very, very good. And he is very, very good. So I think my Gladiator 2 way into Mescal was not the way into Mescal.
Okay.
I'm now fully Mescaled up. It's really good, isn't it, Henry?
Very, very good film. Fine.
Well, we're all, very always very happy to be brilliant. Corrected and educated by our listeners.
Also, it's hard for us to accept, isn't it, but we have to accept that personality can be sexy as well, because for us it's all about, isn't it, looks and heft and musculature. Size. Because we're beefy boys, aren't we? We just are. We've got big beefy thighs. And it's about...
And they're getting beefier by the day.
They're getting beefier all the time. Because it's the only muscle, isn't it, that gets beefier the less you do with it. It's the thigh, isn't it? Because the more you sit, the more it just sort of bulks up to maintain your sitting posture. Sitting exercises the thigh, doesn't it?
It's true, yeah.
So if anything, running is to keep those thighs slim down.
And what better way to introduce our Extra Beans bonus material on the Netherlands?
You're right.
I've only ever been to Amsterdam and Rotterdam. That's my only experience of the Netherlands.
I've been to that. I've been to Gouda, home of the cheese.
Have you? Really?
I've been to Delft, home of the pottery.
Lovely stuff.
Gouda.
Big wheels of cheese everywhere you look.
I'm going to ask a question, stuff. Which is, how Gouda is Gouda?
Really
It's
Gouda.
Quite a shit cheese.
It's so bland. It's almost impossibly bland. It's so...
But I like the texture. I like the bouncy texture.
It is bouncy, but I sometimes look at Gouda in the supermarket and go, effectively, I sort of get the same if I don't buy it, but I save like £2.85.
But you get, isn't there a nice nuttiness to it? There's a bouncy texture, a little bit of nuttiness.
It's so subtle, though. Mike, I've got a busy life. Yeah, I'm getting up. I'm recording a podcast. I'm getting up.
Go to bed again.
Next week, I've got a whole new podcast. I haven't got time to sort of stop the chaos of my life, right? Imagine it. Buses going past. There's a pigeon over there.
He's having a nap in the middle of an A road again. It's been told how many times.
I'm having my Thursday 7-hour nap again in the middle of an A road. There's a pigeon over there. He's got things on his mind. People have got Wi-Fi codes they're asking about in different cafes.
Email from Carol.
I've got another cease and desist letter from Carol. But like there's you know what I mean? Like this, I haven't got time in my schedule to sort of appreciate, just stay still and just try and detect that hint, that vague shadow of an echo of a rumour of nut that's somewhere in that Gouda. Yeah,
just eat, if you want nut flavour, Mike, just eat a nut.
Just eat, then you're not getting the bouncy texture of the Gouda. Mm. It's a bit like a trampoline in your gob. Lovely stuff.
I mean, that's quite appealing. I know what you mean. I mean, obviously, the idea of having a trampoline in your mouth obviously is a lovely idea.
The taste of nuts.
And the taste of nuts and trampoline. Yeah. I just think Gouda, it seems amazing. You think about how it must, the cheese industry must work, presumably, which is young people come out of university and they're idealistic. They're like, I'll design a cheese. Won't they?
Yeah, because they just want security.
That's what you need now. No, but presumably, I'll run nuts through a cheese, or I'll run Wensleydale through a different type of cheese. I'll put imagine a cheddar with bits of Wensleydale in it. Whatever. It's hard to come up with new ideas for cheese, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. There probably hasn't been a new cheese for 100 years.
Yeah. Mm. So what I'm saying is, in that tough cheese environment, it must be so bloody annoying that Gouda has become... It's basically like the Coldplay of cheeses, isn't it? It's become an absolutely massive cheese. And there'll be people there that had great ideas for cheeses in their youth. There'll be people who are like, I'll take a Stilton and I'll reverse it the other way around.
So you think they're more radical... So it's mostly the rind of Stilton.
It's mostly... It's almost all rind. Mm-hmm. It's like a tough cheese. I don't know.
A little bit of soft fungus.
A tiny bit of soft fungus. Or do you know what I mean? Like, Gouda has become massive. It's like, what the fuck is Gouda?
Oh, it's a mainstream hit, sure.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I just feel like it's a bit... I feel sorry for people that have designed really genuinely radical, interesting cheeses who, you know, probably who struggle to sell them, I imagine. Whereas Gouda is everywhere. And what is it?
Is Babybel Gouda?
Same sort of universe, isn't it?
It's a type of... It's more your Edam type thing, isn't it?
Edam. Is that also
well, that's another one.
There's another Netherlands one, but that is a similar texture, but less flavour. I would say bordering on
Edam
no flavour.
Rubbish.
Are you into Edam as well?
No, I would say it's too bland for me. In the French, there's like you've got Port Salut, which is not very. It's all about the texture. It's kind of like a sort of baby cheese almost. Do you know what I mean? There's not much going on, but I do quite like this sort of.
The other one that's in that category is Jarlsberg.
I think that's got a stronger bit of nut going through there.
For me, all of these cheeses are just in a category of what's the point of them? Basically, none of them are as good as cheddar. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, they're just bulk.
I think they're like a melting cheese. Like you can melt them, but it's really just to have something to do with it. You just melt it. Do you know what I mean? Just give you something like, oh, what should I do with that? I'll just melt it, shall I? It just fills the time a bit.
I agree that cheddar is nicer than all of them.
Yeah.
Really good cheddar is fantastic.
Yes, yeah. I'd agree with that.
What grade cheddar are you on these days? Because I'm a five-strength man.
All the way. The higher the better,
yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah, higher the better. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, because if you're going for like 1 out of 5, which they do sell.
What's the point of that?
That's basically Edam.
Exactly.
They can't be. It can't just be cheap. What else do they?
Well, famously tulips. Now, by the way, I've got a quick little idea here.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
If you're feeling flat, maybe you want to do a little quiz about the Netherlands to cheer yourself up.
Who are you talking to?
The audience or us?
But all of you, or I'm talking to all of you, because I'm about to host a Holland-based quiz.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you
but
and
who's
Mike,
answering? Me and Mike?
Ben and Mike are contestants.
So okay. Not the audience. So the audience is now,
they're listening.
But they can play along in their heads.
They can play along at home.
Okay.
So, it's true or false?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How's it going? Are we taking turns or are we diving in? Or
I ask the questions, thanks. How would you like
it's
to
the name
go?
Of the show.
I ask the questions. The
most defensive quiz
the
show.
Passive-aggressive quiz show. We're supposed to be having a good time. That's round two. And then we finish off with a... If it's head-to-head, we finish off... It's a tiebreaker. We finish off with a... Oh, thanks a lot. You've ruined it for everyone.
The quiz with the most passive-aggressive contestants going. What's the capital of the Netherlands? What are you asking?
What's it to you? I think I'm going to keep my own counsel on this one. Holland is a country within the Netherlands. True or false, Ben? But it's off the quick of the buzzer's mic option as well. It's a special double fun.
Okay, can I play my joker?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say true.
But actually, I'm playing my you can't play your joker. Like, I'm playing my you can't play a joker card. So you can't.
Okay.
Right, round two.
What was the answer?
Okay, no, we're going to do this as a straight quiz. Okay, so it's one by one. So start with Ben. Holland is a country within the Netherlands.
True.
Correct. Mike, Amsterdam is the capital of the Netherlands.
True, but isn't it also with the Hague?
Don't know, it's not called conversation time. It's called Henry's quiz game. Yeah. Ben, tulip.
What was the answer to the last question?
Oh, true.
Great. Well done, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks.
Ben, tulips are native to the Netherlands.
False.
Correct. They originated in, extra point for Mike option, Central...
Asia.
Correct. And, extra point for Ben option, and...
Sorry. Turkmenistan.
You tried to be too clever. It was just Turkey.
Okay.
Two points each. Right. Ben, over to you. The Dutch celebrate King's Day to honour their monarch.
True.
Correct. Mike, the Netherlands is the flattest country in the world. True or false?
False.
Correct. It is false. It's flat, but not the flattest. The flattest country, Ben, is the
the Malta. The Maldives.
It's the Maldives. Good, 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 good. It's a good, good. Well done. 1 point each. So, bet Mike. Dutch people consume the most coffee per capita in the world.
True.
False. That title is in fact held by the... Ben?
Thetans.
The theatre community.
It was an F. Sorry.
It was an F. Sorry. It was the Finns. So 1 point to Mike. No. Did you get that right, Mike?
No.
No.
Is it negative? We get points for negative ones now at this point.
What? It's perfect.
So the first half of the quiz we get points for, we get it right.
That's right.
And the second half we get points, we get the wrong.
And then it flips. Because it's negative marking, so you both started with 8 points. So the first half of the quiz is negative marking, so it goes down. Every time you get a point right, it goes down, which is what you want it to do. Which is what you want it to do in the first half of the quiz.
And the first person to lose all of their points wins.
Yeah.
Wins a bonus negative point.
Well, no, that's only because at the second half, at the hinge point, which is actually now hinge point. Hinge point. It's now positive marking. So,
okay,
Mike, you've got 4 points, which from a starting point of 8 has brought you down to 4.
So we'd be better off not trying to get the correct answers in the first half.
I know. That's why it's an unrepeatable show. It can't be a series. It has to be just a really, really great one-off that gets people talking. Right. Next question. Mike.
Yes.
How are you?
I am pretty good. Thank you.
Good. Ben, are you up for a question?
Yes.
Why can't you ask how someone is anymore in the middle of I'm just checking on people's mental health in the middle of a quiz. Why not? How are you, frankly? No one ever asks that to one of those stupid twats that does eggheads.
Do you mean the eggheads themselves or the contestants on eggheads?
They're all twats, aren't they? They're all twats of different types. No, that's not true.
Also, you haven't seen it, clearly.
I haven't really seen it, depends. okay.
Or I would suggest from this, any quiz ever.
Right, next question. Ben. The Netherlands has more bicycles than people.
Correct.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
Bicycles are it's a metal frame, isn't it, with two wheels on. You pedal about and get from A to B. Sorry, I felt like it feels like every question should have a little bit I say at the end, but I couldn't, yeah. Do you
know, I hope Osman doesn't hear this. Because he'll
want to sue me.
Oh. No, he'll just find it so pathetic, I think.
Yeah, okay, fine. Right, number 8, Mike. The Dutch invented Wi-Fi.
I'm going to say false.
It's actually true.
Is it? I mean, of course it's true. Why else would you ask the question?
Well, it could have been a trick one.
Don't think so.
Wi-Fi was invented by the Dutch. Okay. Right. Ben.
Yes.
Holland is famous for its windmills, but they were originally used for making cheese.
False.
Correct. They were, in fact, Mike, for graai.
grinding flour.
They were made for grinding
grain, flour.
Grain. And Ben.
Into flour.
And flour. All right, fine. Into flour, yes. Not and flour. You can't grind flour. And Ben, for pearl.
So we're made for grinding grain and
pearl.
Poets.
Pearl. And pearl. There's a new verb.
Oh, new verb.
Pulverizing?
Pumping water.
etc.
Okay.
Right, last question. This is for both of you. It's a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Mm. Come in with the answer quickest and you win.
The Netherlands. Do we have the same number of points then?
Yes. The Netherlands is home to the world's first stock exchange.
False.
True.
It's actually true. Mike, you got that right, but you said it's second, which means it's an extra tiebreaker. Now, okay, here's a question. The Netherlands is home to the most amount of people in Europe who quite like baklava.
False.
Yeah, probably false.
I think you've broken Mike.
So yeah, so great. So flat country, flat atmos at the end of the quiz. But the crown goes to Mike. Well done. Or Ben. Well done. All right, come on. Let's move on.
You know where you get a good glimpse of Paul Mescal's physique?
Mm.
Is if you came across him in the changing rooms...
Hello.
...of a leisure centre. Changing rooms, of course, also being a popular interior design TV format from the 90s.
Oh, that is a tidy bit of segueing action there, isn't it?
Huh. And, of course, we talked a couple of weeks ago about interior design.
Didn't we just?
Here we go.
What is a crowbar, actually, like in real life? What is a crowbar? I don't know why that pops into my head or something.
You know what a crowbar is, surely.
What do you
You've
do
seen a crowbar.
It? You hit a crow?
You crow...
You can hit a crow.
You can hit a crow.
No, you can hit on a crow in a crowbar.
You can hit it. You can obstruct a crow with a crowbar.
It's all just...
It's for taking the hubcaps off a crow, isn't it? What is it actually for?
If you've lost the keys to a crow, you can jimmy it open.
Yeah.
What is a crowbar actually for?
For jimmying stuff open.
Is it jimmying?
Okay. But why is it called a crowbar, not a jimmy bar?
And also, what's jimmying? Why is jimmying called jimmying?
Why is it not called a jimmy bar?
Wasn't it called johnnying?
Crow. Hmm. Couldn't tell you the other... Why it's crow. Don't know it.
Anyway, here's some extra bits about interior design.
One of the train companies that serves this country.
And God bless them all.
God bless them all. It's a wonderful, wonderful network, isn't it? Of different competing companies that offer a very similar product, which is a hot long rectangle.
All ultimately paid for by taxpayers' money.
But the wonderful thing is they've all got their own liveries, their own little uniforms, their own fonts. And what's great is if you want to get to Derby, you know, and leaving around 7, you know, if you get buy a ticket for that, but you end up on a different hot rectangle that's offering a very similar service, you'll have to pay your fee again and a large fine. Even though all you wanted was to get to fucking Derby. You don't care if it's with Great Northern or Sexy Eastern or like Hot Western or whatever. You mean?
Yeah,
Hot Wet Western. No, that's actually quite a strong satirical point I was making. Do you take it on board?
Oh, the jingle's playing loud and proud.
But one of these, is it Great Western? One of them's got a really cool font. It's got this like 90, it's like this kind of retro, great sort of steam, like futurist, as it Art Deco kind of cool font and look to it, and all the outfits and stuff are like that. You just get on. It's just another hot shit train.
Or sometimes a cold shit train.
A cold shit train and with just, bad toilets.
For clarity,
terrible
that's hot comma shit. That's not hot hyphen shit.
Okay? That's hot comma.
There are no hot shit trains.
There are no hot shit. There are no hot shit trains. Or shit hot trains, indeed.
Mm. So Great Western are kind of my guys.
Yeah,
they're the ones that shuttle me back and forth from Cardiff to London. And I wouldn't say that it's particularly a stylish experience.
No. It's not exactly. But the kind of font... It's got this kind of retro, kind of almost like sort of Agatha Christie-esque kind of.
I wonder if it's Chilton's
vibe to the
look. No, I know what you mean. I'm looking at the logo now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just the idea that they're competing companies, as if you'd be like, you know what? I want to get to London at around 4:30, but there's a Chilterns train which gets there in at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to wait for that one and change my meetings because of my brand loyalty to Chilterns. You get on the train that's there. It's not a competitive marketplace. There's only one set of there's the hot rectangle, which is the train, then there's smaller rectangle or thinner rectangles, which are the tracks. Yeah.
They're run by a different company.
But it's like, there's only one set of rectangles that can be on this rectangle at any one time. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not competition. It's not a competitive marketplace because of the rectangles.
There's a small amount of competition.
Okay. How is that?
Because they're competing with, you know, walking there or getting the bus.
Walking there. Coming to you now from Your Legs.
You've won the government contract to run Your Legs.
Great Benjamin's Thighs, GBT.
A subsidiary of Benjamin's Legs.
obviously, you're right, Henry, in that you can only get on the train that's taking you where you need to go.
Yeah.
But I do think the different companies are subtly better or worse than... Like, I think Virgin is...
Yeah, but if Virgin's better, are you going to move to Brighton? Because it's served by a slightly nicer rail... It's still not a choice.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, but yeah, when I do have to go to Manchester or something and I have to get on a Virgin train, I do think this is quite shit. And the Virgin train smells slightly of shit. Have you noticed that?
But they look smarter.
They look smarter, but and they
smell worse.
And they kind of do that thing where they tip over on one side. Not like a rail disaster, you know, they've got like the Pendolino things.
Yeah.
But they smell of shit.
What is Virgin? Like, what does Virgin do? What is it?
What don't they do, Henry?
It's Omnibank, basically, isn't it?
It's Omnibank. But it brings like this kind of nothingy brand to loads of boring products now. Because it used to be it was Virgin Megastore, music, it had a kind of cool vibe to it.
Cola.
It was cool stuff back in the like 80s and 90s. And now it's just
the
most...
airline with a bit of glitz.
Exactly. The airline had a bit of glitz going on with it. It was the first airline that had...
Probably some decent snacks. Probably a slightly larger bag of pretzels.
Everyone had a screen, I think. That was the first thing they did. They were the first one that everyone on the Virgin plane had a little screen.
And access to a bright red blanket.
Access to a bright red blanket.
I remember I went on Virgin somewhere and they made a big deal of how they had a new thing, which was this cup that they designed. Mm. And they're like, this is the first flight we're going to be using the new cup. Ooh. And it's been designed by designer Javio Flavorino or something like somebody who they probably made them up. And they brought out the new cup with great ceremony and it was just a purple cup. And they were like, here you go. Here's the
Did
special...
Did you get to keep the cup?
No. Give the cup back.
And that was Virgin?
Yeah.
Would that have been industrial espionage if you tried to smuggle the cup out?
Exactly.
On a train?
No, this was a Virgin flight.
Yeah.
Oh. All of the water was going to be served in these delicious, wonderful new cups.
So bizarre.
Yeah, I think I've only once flown with Virgin. And I remember that was a long time ago. And I remember the snacks being excellent and plentiful. And the British people on the flight not being able to stop themselves. I mean, every 3 seconds, someone was getting out of their seat to get another snack because we can have as many of these snacks, as many Mars bars as we like. Just keep going and keep
Let's
going.
Ruin this idea for everyone by making it completely financially untenable for them.
Chocolate smeared, shit faced Brits on the flight by the end of it. I would imagine they rethought it.
It's so Brit. Oh, Lime bikes, what sort of. Convenient, environmentally, you know, good bikes that mean people can get around, use cars as often. Okay, brilliant. Let's shit all over them. Let's cover them in graffiti. Let's literally break them. Let's put them in canals. Let's destroy anything positive. Yeah, no, I think that's probably what I reckon. That free peanuts, whatever thing, was probably why Virgin, I imagine Virgin Airlines struggled, and that's probably why they've had to get into what they do now, which is the most boring stuff like internet, phones,
credit cards,
heating. Probably that's the kind of thing they'll do at some point. Insulation,
flannels,
pet insurance,
and lamination.
I like those companies you get that aren't, so Virgin isn't quite as far as this, which is like, what are they called? There's G4S, and they're just kind of like, they'll just do anything.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, like, you need security for the Olympic Games?
Yes, but they're the ones who occasionally they'll get a government contract for something. It'll be absolutely catastrophic because they need to operate a fleet of tripe ships and none of them has ever been on a boat before.
Right? Exactly, yeah.
Tripe ships?
or whatever it may be.
Is that was a ship full of tripe?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be beyond their purview, won't it?
It will be well beyond their purview.
Yeah.
But there were always called things like Codexo.
Yeah.
And so they were given like £10 billion to be in charge of, you know, the probation service or something.
To build a prison.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then the prison will sink on day two.
But the person who's in charge of Codexo will be so rich.
Yeah. And untouchably so.
Yeah. Why couldn't that have been me? Like, what's... I was never even offered any kind of...
Oh, I see. So I thought we were really giving it to the man there. But it turns out you're at a point in your life when you're thinking, actually, you'd quite like to have been the man.
I'm giving it to the man. But if you offer me a top job with the man or around the man, I mean, I'll snap your hand off.
If it turns out that any old dickhead is allowed to do it and knowledge and skill isn't part of it.
I bet they don't know what they're doing. So that Virgin, I've just realized that Virgin thing. So what Virgin has done as a company, I think, is become middle-aged. It's grown up.
You think it's become quite conservative?
So it started off as a young company. So it thought what mattered was DVDs, CDs, having cool posters.
Yeah.
Chris Evans on your radio station.
Chris Evans. Yeah, it's like music, cool stuff. Mm. Flying to America with a fun computer game and free nuts. Yay! Just a 13-year-old going, whoa-hoo, yay, computer games. I'm flying to America. I've got a Madonna poster. Yay! That was the Virgin Megastore. So as a kid, and just grown up, and now it's just Virgin. Mm. Broadband speeds.
Virgin windscreen protection.
It's just, it has, isn't it? It's just become buffet car. We do a cheese and ham toasty, but we've run out, I'm afraid. Sorry. We run out in Derby.
We do an orthopaedic slip-on shoe.
We're supposed to be getting restocked in Leeds, but someone there died. So I'm afraid we're going to have to be transporting his corpse in the trolley using a Virgin coffin. It's true. Christmas decks are a form are absolutely interior decor, aren't they?
What my favourite Christmas deck that we've got.
Mm-hmm.
Is a flag that I bought from a Portuguese cathedral with the baby Jesus on it, sort of wearing a sort of nappy sort of thing, and putting his hand up in that way, like in a kind of beatific way, like priest, you know, like
blessing you.
Blessing you. It's really good.
Yeah.
Wow. It's so Catholic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, this is what we need to be. That's what I'd want to do is fill my house with like, I'm not a Catholic, but fill it with like Catholic iconography for Christmas. That's what I would like to go for. That's the vibe I'd like.
A nice statue of the Virgin Mary that cries blood.
Yeah, perfect.
That kind of thing.
Or get one of the miracle ones.
There's that saint who was flayed alive. Can't remember his name. Maybe a statue of him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the saints that got loads of arrows. That got absolutely peppered with arrows.
Yeah.
You know what? You could answer the door with a fake arrow through your head to people, crying and with blood all over your hands. Fake blood. Exactly. Going, hey.
Take him on a little tour around the house of the new relics you've got. That's St. Cuthbert's left bollock.
Yeah. Perfect.
There's loads, aren't there?
Go Catholic with it. I mean, Catholic has a good interior decor tradition, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, I love all that stuff. Whenever I go on holiday, somewhere like that, I'll bring back a little sort of, or like Greek Orthodox is a similar thing.
Medieval finger bone that you've pinched from a crypt.
I've got a little house thing I bought, and inside is a painting of a guy called Sveti Naum.
Who's that?
Sveti is, I think, Serbian for saint, and Naum, I guess, is his name.
Yeah.
And he's just like an angry looking man.
Nice.
And I love that vibe.
So that's your interior decor vibe, would you say? Is it kind of like, is kind of Catholic? So like saints, martyrs being horribly, horribly martyred.
Yeah. All just quite visceral, sort of
visceral,
corporeal.
Yeah. Bit of gold leaf here and there.
Yeah. Nice stuff. Mm. Yeah. That's what I'd go for if I had like unlimited time and money and was insane.
Just a little white skull cap with a little sort of beret, you know, that little thing that popes wear. Have you seen the trailers for the new
Conclave? I can't wait to see Conclave.
I know, that's right.
They're great trailers. They're really good trailers.
So, Ben, you do have a thing, don't you? Because you're obsessed with popes. You do have a thing with Catholicism. It's genuine, this, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Catholic.
I knew you'd be excited about that film. But the trailer's really funny because the trailer is got a really filmic, like, heavy, like, thriller kind of vibe to it. But all anyone is saying is things like, we're going to have to requester
the quorum.
No, that's it. We're going to have to sequester the conclave. You can't sequester it. It's already been sequestered, man.
We're going to have to turn our phones off, or at least put them on airplane mode.
While we re-sequester the conclave.
We're going to have to break for a croissant.
Guys, we've been talking for 10 hours. Can we watch Kung Fu Panda? Just to...
No one needs to know because we're sequestered, you understand. They're doing a great job. They're making it very, very enticing.
Yeah, because what you're trying to do is trying to look through the trailer, don't you, to what's actually there.
Maybe
it feels like it's going to be a lot of men in rooms just talking about sequestering.
Maybe it's a Film Corner one if we're excited about it.
It could be. Mm. Could be something we'll discuss on Film Corner, our Patreon-only feature, where we discuss films.
Yeah, I'm excited by it. I don't know why. I just think I like it. I like that vibe.
Well, it's riches on it. Because, of course, Ben, you are... We've always, you know, something we've often talked about is how you are a descendant from the Habsburgs, aren't you? And they're Catholics, aren't they?
Yes, because they're kind of Holy Roman Empire business, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right.
So your taste is, it's ornate, it's gold leaf, it's rococo, isn't it? Rococo. You like things that are twiddly and twirly.
Secret entrances, vaults full of vaults. Scurrilous papers.
Oh!
In ancient languages.
This has just reminded me of something that I forgot to talk about in our review of Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
On Film Corner. Has that gone out yet?
It's going out. It will have gone out by the time people are listening to this.
There's a bit in it which they... So Gladiator 2 is out. Mm-hmm. There's a bit in that film.
Spoiler, it's not very good.
It's not amazing. There's a bit which you feel the filmmakers almost skirted over because they were almost embarrassed it was there. But it kind of had to... I think they must have decided this has to be here. Which is basically, there's a moment in that film... I can't actually believe this happened. There's a moment in that film where a woman... Is it his mum or his wife? I can never remember because she... It's either his mum or his wife.
Probably his mum.
It's his mum.
His wife didn't last long.
She got shot in the chest in minute one.
So the guy's mum, she basically, she's in a big Roman building she lives in. She presses a big Roman stone and a door opens.
Yeah.
I mean, what? That is like CBeebies kind of, what? But it skirts over it really, like it doesn't enjoy the mechanism or anything. Like it just goes right up into the neck. Just don't think about that. Just too, like, we had to get her into a secret room. But like, for that, and it opens, she just presses this big stone and this door just goes really easily and she walks through. It's like, what the...
Does it make that noise, that really pleasing stone noise?
I think it does.
Very little, but it's very quick. There wasn't much grinding of stone or all the rest of it.
Yeah, and the door opens so easily. I mean, for Roman technology to do that, you'd need an entire city of wooden cogs to make that actually work
very
using
hard
Roman technology.
To keep that secret.
Also, I didn't realise this, but since we recorded our Film Corner episode and since I watched Gladiator 2, I've read, there's a bit in it, apparently, where Tim McInerney, is that his name?
Yeah.
His character is seen reading a newspaper. In a cafe.
Yes, and it was the Express. I thought that was probably a mistake. Because it had a thing about Harry on the front. It had a thing about Harry and Meghan.
And he was enjoying the Gren cartoon, wasn't he? That's what he was. And basically, yeah, like newspapers weren't invented for over 1,000 years, like well over 1,000 years later before the...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, not many people were going to worry about that too much.
And I mean, secret...
Yeah, once you've had the CGI baboons, everything else is out the window, I think.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But the interior decor is quite good in that film, isn't it? Roman starts, lots of drapes, lots of vases.
Wall paintings.
Amphoras.
Yeah.
And stuff draped.
It's quite uniform, though. That's what you're led to believe from, if you ever watch anything from the Roman era, you're led to believe that everyone very much had the same interior design. I mean, there was no one with the early equivalent, like with that sort of... A candle lit penguin or anything like that. No one was mixing
it up. It's true. It's true. But maybe there was more variety and we don't know. Hasn't survived.
Maybe there's sort of posters of favourite gladiators and bards and things. I don't know.
Mosaics.
Exactly.
I was watching a TV programme last night which is called something like Wales's Best House.
Yeah.
It's a Wales only TV show where there are regional heats and they go to different houses in different areas and then one wins and it goes through to the final and they choose which is Wales's best house.
Okay.
And you know, I'm sitting in my house, which is largely undecorated. Like I've moved in almost 3 years ago. I haven't yet put any pictures up because I can't be arsed.
Oh, wow.
You took down the Batman stuff, though, did you?
I took down the Batman stickers. So there's quite a lot. There's like a Batman wall sticker.
Yeah.
Which was not unlike the sort of thing a Roman villa might have, you know. Like,
have you not got a lifetime of sort of pictures and frames and things sort of sitting somewhere?
Yeah, they're sat next to my sofa.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's traditional, isn't it? So you took down those stickers of Batman probably because you just think Batman's a bit too cool or whatever. You feel you can't handle. Is it the fact that he fights crime, but he's quite...
Well, he's a vigilante, isn't he?
He's a vigilante.
And ultimately, therefore, a criminal himself.
I replaced him with pictures of New York cops.
Properly trained and accredited.
Yeah.
Badge carrying.
Yes, there's a big stickers of Batman everywhere, so they all came down.
Mm. Yeah.
We haven't really engaged in much interior design, but I was watching this TV show, Wales's Best House. And it's amazing with these kind of TV shows how quickly you're like, no, this house is rubbish. This doesn't tie together at all. What, a blue dining room and a red living room? This is...
Oh, you have the sort of immediate armchair expert thing.
Exactly. That phenomenon. Yeah. You go straight into armchair expert.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
About about interior design or like architecture.
A topic you have studied never.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And having hard opinions about it.
That's the fun of these shows though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why they work.
Have you ever watched Interior Design Masters with Alan Carr?
With Alan Carr, yeah, I love it. That's great.
That is a great TV show.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's my favourite, I think, of the reality type shows. That's the only one I've ever got really properly into.
It's with pros, is it? Or is it?
No, it's people who kind of amateurs. Want to become pros, probably.
I see.
So like keen amateurs.
Yeah.
And they're all given, like every week, it's like, this week you've got a shop, you've each got a shop and you need to rejuvenate the shop. And then the next day it'll be like student halls. And then it'll be... And it's really interesting.
It's great. Yeah. And Alan Carr, I mean, he just judges it just right, doesn't he? He's a little bit irreverent, a little bit silly, a little bit funny, but actually quite warm.
Doesn't mind picking up a paintbrush.
Doesn't mind it.
Really?
He's not above that.
Rolls his sleeves up, does he?
Yeah, a little bit.
He's famously a good guy, though, isn't he? Generally speaking.
And then the actual judge, Michelle Agundagun.
She's cool. She's quite...
She's kind of like Ice Queen.
Yeah, she's quite cold and withdrawn. She swoops in a bit like the Emperor in Star Wars or something.
Yeah, she's
towards
so
the end
good.
Of an episode.
Yeah.
And he's more like the kind of like furry, kind of weird sidekick to the baddie. He's a kind of like, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, cuddly.
And then she comes in and sort of, they talk.
He's a sort of avuncular consigliere.
Exactly.
Exactly. So he's the go-between between the contestants and her.
And then
shoot.
Yeah, and then she'll fly in and say, I don't think the drapes make sense with the carpet. And they'll be reduced to tears.
Yeah. Dreams are shattered.
And you watching it will be reduced to tears. Yeah.
It is really good.
Yeah. And there's a time pressure.
Let's check it out.
Brilliant. No, it's great Interior Design Masters with Alan Carr.
And Alan Carr does such a good job.
He's good. He's got a very good... He's got a reputation as being a good guy, generally, as well.
Yeah, he's great.
He just judges it just right.
There's also a programme that my parents got really into, which was Alan Carr and Amanda Holden buying a house in Sicily together.
Really?
And then renovating it. And for some reason, my parents just got obsessed with it.
Are they old buddies or something?
I don't know. It's not clear.
Just put together, because that's a big thing to be thrust together for, isn't it?
It's weird, isn't it?
It's
just
a project.
It's sort of classic thing where I could see that working. People just doing anything on... it's quite good on telly. It's like... As long as they're doing something, do you know what I mean? They get together and Robert Peston, you know, mm-hmm. goes to Wiltshire
to carve a handmade bath out of cedar.
That would be good. Yeah. Just someone doing something. It'll just all be quite good, probably. But I mean, assuming Alan Carr's involved.
The other interior design element that my house has are some tiles... Mm-hmm. Which we believe were put in by the previous owners.
Yeah.
That we believe are meant for wall only, but they're actually on the floor.
Oh.
And have zero friction.
Where are they? Which room?
When you walk in, it's like you walk in our front door.
Oh, right.
Tiled floor.
With your wet shoes.
If they get the smallest amount of moisture on them.
Yeah. It's over.
If you walk into Ben's front door, you're basically, you're in the back garden. What the hell just happened? I'm in the...
You're basically Bambi on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need some sort of catching safety net sort of mechanism.
Somebody will meet their death. And it, yeah, and I will be prosecuted.
Or at the very least, monkey bars or something.
Yeah.
See, well. do you count that into your morning routine when you're trying to work out if you're going to be late or something? Well, the thing is, I could make the 6:30 train. If I get up now, I suppose, bearing in mind the non-friction tiles, I'd probably be able to make the 6:20, actually.
unless I shatter my pelvis. Yeah, that is going to slow me down. Which case I'm...
I've shattered it so many times now. I think you can't shatter it to smaller segments than it's now in.
It's now, in a way, it's a bonus. It's now scientifically a soup. Sort of mid soup.
But basically, because you know, we live here, soupy, so we know it and we know the quirks of it and how to stand on it without dying. But whenever anyone visits, or like, you know, someone has to come in, maybe someone's coming to service the boiler or whatever, as soon as the front door opens, I go, please, you just have to know this floor is
slow down.
You will die.
This is like another sort of ancient times movie thing. Like you are the guardians of the citadel who know its pitfalls and traps.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So you have to put on if you don't mind. So I'm a shoes off, ping pong bats on. So if you just strap these ping pong bats to your feet, with the nodule side down, the other side's even smoother.
Adhesive nodule sides down. If you put the adhesive nodules on your feet, you're never going to get them off. Do you understand?
Here's a set of winter tires from Hyundai 10. If you could put those on,
please put them on your elbows and knees.
And I filled the entire home with foam. It slows you down a little bit, the foam, but it's not sexy foam.
But I think that speaks to the fact that, like, everyone, you have to live with the interior design choices of the previous owners of your home.
Yes,
unless you've got the sort of funds and the,
well, particularly if you've like bought a home, normally that will clean you out, right?
Yeah,
so you're not. You're then since then years before you're even doing the absolute basics.
Yeah,
the classic thing though is like in the 70s, essentially a kind of a massive sort of nationwide atrocity was committed on the interior decor of homes, isn't it?
The avocado bathroom.
Everything was carpeted, right?
Everything
walls
was avocado
ceilings.
Avocado carpeted. Everything was avocado carpeted.
Occasional streak of burnt orange.
Yeah. So you've got carpeted. I mean, there are cases where the inside of the toilet bowl is carpeted, aren't there? Utensil drawers are carpeted. Fire escapes are carpeted. Windows are carpeted.
Lovely carpeted fridge.
It was so carpety. Why was the 70s obsessed with carpet?
Deep pile.
Deep pile. Yeah. Essentially storing so many of your own like bits of dead flesh that you could recreate a working model of yourself from just hoovering and with a bit of glue. You could reconstruct a sort of spare backup.
A friend of mine is French, and she finds the British obsession with carpeting to be disgusting.
Yeah. Right.
Genuinely disgusting. She's like, this is dirty.
Is she up for a rug, at least?
Yeah, so I think the way she would do it is you'd have floors that are wooden or whatever, and then you'd put rugs on top because they can be taken outside and beaten and washed or whatever.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, I don't think most French people deserve quite that bad treatment. Sometimes, depending on some of them do, though. I don't know.
Lovely stuff. Lovely bit of fun there.
French people. go on.
Take that, froggies.
So yeah. she doesn't like the idea of a sort of like the house having a permanent set of like sort of thick underpants, effectively.
Well, that's basically what's going on. Yeah. She just thinks it's disgusting.
Mm. Yeah. But try getting a decent DNA profile after a crime in France. Almost impossible. Whereas we've left so much DNA evidence everywhere, haven't we?
It's basically CCTV, but on the floor.
Yeah.
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 Good it's, point. Yeah. See, because the 70s, so there's a lot of the avocado green, mint green, just a lot of green, a lot of violent oranges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Burnt umber.
Thick carpet, thick drapes and like curtains. Was it to do with heating, basically?
Maybe it was Big Hoover calling all the shots.
Might have been.
Could have been Big Hoover. Don't know. Symbiotic Industries.
Could be, yeah.
That's a good point.
The vacuum dust mite complex.
Was it all inspired by that film where Oliver Reed gets naked and wrestles with that bloke on a rug? Do you know what I'm talking about?
You thought if they had just had enough carpeted surfaces in the house, Oliver Reed would come. And he won't need any clothes on because there's so much deep pile carpet everywhere. Do you understand?
Woman in Love. Is it?
Women in Love.
Women in Love.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yes, I'm aware of that scene. It's a famous scene, isn't it?
I like the sound of it.
I suppose that's the idea that your house is so carpeted that you can be fully naked and wrestling. And
I just did Google image search on Oliver Reed naked wrestle, and I would encourage you not to do that.
Okay.
Thank you. As ever, Ben at the Vanguard, for all our sakes.
Wallpaper came back in recently, didn't it?
Which is such a... have you ever done wallpapering? I don't
know.
I've done wallpapering. I've not physically done it myself. That's crazy. Have you done it yourself?
No. I wouldn't be allowed to either. I mean, even painting causes my family great agony if I go anywhere near it, because it takes me ages and I do a terrible job. I'm very bad DIY-wise. So, nailing up a picture. I'm up to nailing up a picture or sort of screwing a guitar I don't need to a wall is my level of decoration. That's about it. Wallpaper, though, I mean, who can be?
No, it's really difficult.
Doesn't it cost about £8 million per square inch as well? I don't get who's doing it. I mean, it's definitely a time I assumed that at some point, at least one of my walls would be full of kind of golden and platinum records. That's never happened.
No.
There's still time.